Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost reporting for duty here on a Wednesday night for your Thursday morning delivery. We're excited to talk to you for the next hour or so as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts. A lot to talk about. We got a UFC 295 fight week. So there's tidbits that are pouring in from New York. Alex Fajeda, Tom Aspinall, Sergey Pavlovich, Yuri Prochazka. They're all chiming in, talking about these big fights of theirs coming up, title fights. And this is a quick chance for us to give you a reminder that Dills and I will be hosting a watch-along on Saturday, November 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for prelims, and then 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, for the five fights on the main card, including those two title fights I just discussed. So, as I say that, let me give you one other tip. We do our spinning backclick show every Monday, right? Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Guess what? Next week, we're doing two. We're doing Monday and Tuesday, and what's happening on Tuesday is we're going to be breaking down this list that we have of the 30 greatest fighters in the history of the UFC. So that should be fun. I think all or most of the staff will be involved. It'll be hosted by Simon Tamano, our managing editor. So you'll hear a lot of reminders about that one Tuesday, same time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, another spinning backlink show, but again, featuring the 30 greatest fighters in the history of the UFC. We'll kind of break it down, bust each other's balls. We all had different lists, but we collaborated and came up with the list that we have. But yes, there were differing opinions, so we'll chat about that. So a lot thrown your way. We got Peter Murray, CEO of PFL. He's our guest today. The latest news, all of it. We'll be right back. Goes, let's just get it out of the way. How close has the collaborative list been towards your list?
There are some things here and there that are a little different. A couple of fighters that weren't anywhere near, I think, other people's radars that made it onto my list. So there's a couple of things here and there. And then some people that I did have on the list that I just had in different spots that I think are... It's probably really going to bring up a lot of debate as we're talking about everything on Tuesday.
Does anything stand out to you as you being pretty fired up? Like, wait a minute, this was nowhere near what I thought. I got a problem.
Not too bad.
I think I'm in the same ballpark as you, even though it's different from the list I turned in. In the end, I think it just fell into place, and therefore I'm happy. I accept that we all have the differing opinions. I think I saw, I guess, let me think about this before I say it. I don't want to blow it, right? But we obviously know, let's not be stupid here. We obviously know that there's some names that haven't been revealed, but I mean, it's fairly obvious that John Jones will be one of the four left, because today we released Khabib Nurmagomedov. But I did see somebody turn in John Jones kind of high up there, man. And I'm thinking, wow, like, I guess he really must, you know, have a certain criteria different from the rest of us.
I mean,
I honestly don't remember the name, because you know me, I throw people under the bus. But I was looking at it because we wanted to study each other's list, and just so we could say, hey, fool, what was you thinking, you know?
Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to go back there, brush up on it. But I did see one that was out there a little bit, and I thought, what's your reasoning here?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious now that what set that person off, because you can't argue John Jones's greatness. Different people look at certain situations differently.
Yeah, I guess probably the steroids, right?
Yeah,
steroid allegations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, check it out, man. It's really had some great, healthy discussion online on social media. And I think we're down to the last four. Like I said, Khabib Nurmagomedov came in at number five. So check it out. Tell us what you think. And again, Tuesday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We'll kind of break it all down as a team. It'll be a special spinning back click show. In addition to the Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, where we will reflect on this past week, including UFC 295. So, look, speaking of UFC 295, we got a team out there, man. We got a squad. Ken Hathaway handling the video portion of what the website does, along with Mike Vaughn and Nolan King. Give them a follow, all studs in their respective fields. They're going to give you great coverage of the event. And so we've already kind of had some one-on-ones with the fighters. They still have to have the whole press conference and weigh-ins, and that'll be later in the week. But I'm telling you, guys, I heard something today. I made a switch. I'm a big fan of Tom Aspinall. I love his footwork. I love his hand speed. It's amazing. I love the way he moves his head. He really, really floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Plus, he's got ground game. But today, he was setting this table of reminding us how this is short notice. I'll do my best. Man, you can't do that against a killer like Sergey Pavlovich. I actually made a switch. I turned in Tom Aspinall early in the week. You know, and I'm only three picks behind Nolan King. It's the closest I've ever been. And I made a switch. I'm on Sergey. I'm on Team Sergey.
I'm on Team Sergey too. That's just a big deal for me. When a guy doesn't have the same opportunities as the other. Now, granted, it's a switch for Sergey too. You know, he's got to prepare for Aspinall. But to me, Pavlovich, he just kind of reminds me of like a young version of Fedor a little bit. You know, no matter where the fight ends up, he's still going to be dangerous. And I think Aspinall's good. I don't know if he's great just yet. He's very, very impressive. But if you're going to tell me one guy is already saying things like that, that's just not good. So yeah, let's just say I went Aspinall the other way. I would have switched as well as soon as I heard that mentality. And if I'm Pavlovich, I'm probably salivating at hearing things like that.
And, you know, I wonder if Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, Hunter Campbell, and Dana White, I wonder if when they hear this, they just have this eerie feeling of, did we just fuck up again? Because we just went through this with Kamaru Usman versus Khamzat Chimaev. I'm convinced that if Usman had a full camp, he wins. I'm also convinced that, well, I don't have to be convinced. We saw it. We saw part one of Volkanovski versus Makhachev. And when he was well-prepared, this thing went down to the wire. In the second fight, Makhachev blasted him, right? And so that should have been a quick reminder of, these may not be the best ideas of quick fill-ins or whatever. Sure, every once in a while, the quick fill-in will come through and, you know, it kind of rescues you a little bit as a company. But, man, stack these cards. Stack them so that it doesn't matter if you lose a fight. It's still pay-per-view worthy. And the significant ones, like a UFC 295, 30-year anniversary, or the 300 that's coming up next year, or the International Fight Week, you know, a few months later, stack them. Put something extra on them, you know. But, I mean, look, I got the words right here. Straight out of Aspinall's mouth goes, he said 2 weeks isn't long enough to prepare for a fight. He's basically telling us he's probably 50% of himself, you know, going into this. Now, that said, Pavlovich wasn't on the card either, but he was the alternate. And in my opinion, the alternate you probably usually gives you about 75% of what he has, because he's got to prepare for two guys, and he more than likely will not be fighting. But still, that's more than the 50%, you know. And so he, and by the way, he's 75% for the two guys that are supposed to fight. He's probably 100% for the guy that's coming in on 2 weeks' notice. He's just that much better. He says, I'm fighting the scariest guy in MMA, in my opinion, in the worst circumstances possible without a training camp. He said it himself, goes, I obviously think I can win. I'm not the kind of guy who shows up for the money. I ain't signing a contract and showing up if I don't think I can win. But, you know, that's the end. Well, no, he continues. I truly and truly believe that I'm going to win on Saturday night. I'm an absolute winner, and I'm going to find a way to win regardless of the circumstances. But see, what I'm interpreting that goes is, of course you can win. You're a heavyweight. You can crack. But that doesn't mean that it's likely. You can, but it doesn't mean that it's likely. And against a beast like that Russian, oof. Yeah. I did not like hearing that.
I don't know. I mean, like, look, we were all kids at one point, and those are just the types of things that come out of your mouth when you have a little bit of fear, right? When you want to cover your ass. When you're at school all week going, bro, I'm the king of Madden. Just wait. And then it rolls around and you hear somebody say, well, I mean, I haven't played this in a couple of weeks, you know, but you already know, right? Or when you're playing basketball and somebody goes, let's play one-on-one. Well, you know, I've already had a couple games, so I'm a little bit tired, but yeah, I'll do it. Like, you just know, that's just one of the signs, and it's not good. It's not good to hear that. But I on this one, I sort of give the UFC a pass because it's just a huge card, man. They needed shit on this.
Yeah, but it's I agree. I'll give them the pass in that they really, I mean, this one was pretty damn good job of rescuing a card that fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope, especially off of what we saw in Saudi Arabia, I really hope today we talked to Mark Madsen and he did say that the fight kits are going to be a little bit different, and I'm glad to hear that. Just something, man. I'm not saying you got to roll out the ramp and fireworks and rappers and all kinds of people out there performing, but just give us something that's going to really make us feel like we're watching something important, something a little different than all the others.
Yeah, and a quick message to Venom. Fix those gloves. They were falling apart on a recent card that I just saw. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was that specific glove. To be fair, it's the first time I've seen it all year because they've been wearing those 30-year gloves pretty much all of 2023. But, yeah, that was an ugly scene. Mm-hmm. Well, it was Sao Paulo, right? It was on the Sao Paulo card?
Yeah, I think it was in the main event. Wasn't it like on Almeida's head or something?
A piece of it. Yeah. Yeah, so Saturday's 295, UFC 295, the watch along. Don't forget, 8 Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Myself and Goes we'll watch the fights along with you guys. 9 fights total, 4 on the prelims, 5 on the main card. 296 is December 16th in Las Vegas. Colby Covington challenges Leon Edwards. Brandon Royval challenges Alexander Pantoja. All right, so we also got news earlier this week. We know what 297, 298, and 299 look like. 297, January 20th, it's not Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. Instead, Sean Strickland or defend against Dricus du Plessis. Now, I spoke to our Triple G audience goes about this, but I want to get your thoughts. What do you think of that matchup?
I love it. I mean, it makes sense. It's what's supposed to happen. It's unfortunate that it feels like, well, I guess this is what we're going to do, you know, on their part. It would have been nice for it just to be the fight the way it falls into place, because he's the guy that deserves to be there. And I love that it's happening. I don't know what to make of like, hey, he stood his ground, because I don't feel like maybe that's why he got it. I feel like he just got it because of circumstances, but he deserves to be the guy. And it's a good fight. So the second you get through all the politics and you sit down and you break it down, you go, okay, well, who wins? It's pretty interesting because you can make cases for both guys. I love the matchup itself. I kind of – Dricus, I thought, has looked good in certain moments, but there are certain moments where I didn't think he looked so good. Now, he looked incredible against Whitaker, but I don't know if that was just an out-of-body experience or what. I'm not going to say Whitaker had a bad night because I don't believe he really does. I just think Dricus had a really good night. Now, Sean Strickland is very consistent with certain things, certain aspects of his fight. So it's interesting. To me, I have Strickland kind of in the driver's seat, but not by much.
Mm-hmm. It's January 20th in Toronto, Canada, and it's the same card where Raquel Pennington is going to fight Myra Bueno Silva. So two title fights for Toronto. But no Charles Oliveira and no Islam Makhachev. And as far as that fight goes, when you put a clinic on Israel Adesanya, there's something to your strategy, you know. I've seen Sean fight so much, not just in fights, but in the training, right? And it's all pretty consistent, and it's just high volume pressure. He's not the hardest hitter in the division, he'll tell you that, but he just does not stop coming. Now, that said, Dricus du Plessis, he had this surgery to correct the breathing problems that he would have because he looked like a gasser, although to his credit, he wouldn't fade. He would just kind of expand his chest like, hey, I'm ready to get out of here, but he would still go and figure things out and win. But what he did against Whitaker was amazing, not just on the feet, but on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if he can do that, he can get Strickland on the ground. He's a live dog for sure. In fact, I'll pull up the odds in just a second to see who is the dog and who is the favorite. Poor Sean Strickland is in favorite in many of his fights as of late, but he's the world champ, and that's all that matters. Go ahead.
And he even has, like, when it comes down to a little bit of smack talk, he's probably not going to be the one that initiates it, but he holds his own. He has this weird way of kind of answering back that I enjoy. So I think even that side of the fight could be built up. So I'm all in on this one. I love this fight.
Me too. And you nailed it when you said it's just what's supposed to happen. And that when it goes down like that, it really just kind of makes me a little bit of a happy camper, because that's what I look for from the UFC. They're the leader. They got resources. They got money. They got great fighters. An amazing stable. There's just very little reason why we always shouldn't see a number one versus a number two, unless they fought already a few times and we can't, like the featherweight division with Holloway and Volkanovski. You know, it's what they should strive for. Do they need to sell a million pay-per-views, 500,000 pay-per-views, you know, 1.5? It doesn't hurt, right? But they're just not at that point anymore. Now I think they can just function as a company, and guess what? You can build new stars. I'm telling you, there's no way the UFC thought that Strickland was going to beat Israel Adesanya the way they did. They thought Adesanya was going to wax him, and then maybe him and du Plessis could meet up and settle this whole King of Africa thing. Instead, Strickland goes in, spoils the party, and now all of a sudden, he's kind of a big deal, you know? And now the UFC will probably rally behind him. Well, guess what? You were sending this guy to Australia to get served up. Little did you know that he was kind of a star in the making. So that's what happens when you do kind of give some opportunities. You know, and just because someone might be a quiet fella or gal at number two and your champion, you know, is might not sell a bunch of pay-per-views, you know, it's still pure. It's what the sport's all about, and a star may come out of it. So we'll see. In fact, I've been critical of Pennington and Myra Buenasova. I haven't been excited about that matchup. But right. Then I think on Spinning Backlick, we said, well, what else are they going to do? And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. I just got to back this fight and see what comes out of it.
Yeah, because we can't be speaking out of both sides of our mouths, right? Like, that, if we're going to champion what's right, this is a scenario where this is probably what's right as well. So hopefully they put on a good fight and they shut us up. And even if it's not a good fight, I mean, not every fight is going to be a barn burner, but it's the correct fight to make.
Mm-hmm. They also announced UFC 298, Alex Volkanovski versus Ilya Topuria. We're hearing that this is going to take place February 17th. And furthermore, this might occur in California, Anaheim to be specific. Now, don't hold us to that. That's just a rumor that's been floating around. We'll see. But that's a clear number one against a clear number two. So yet again, I'm happy about the way things are stacking up in 2024. What did you think of this matchup?
You know, I think it's just enough time for Volkanovski. I'll put it to you this way. If I'm Topuria, I'm very happy about this matchup. Volkanovski, I think, had just enough time where it's a border where you go, well, all right, he's not going to sit out a year because he got knocked out. But at the same time, he's not jumping in there the next day, right? Like, he might have a little bit of a rest period and still be able to put together his camp. But if I'm Topuria, I honestly think Alex needed a little bit more time to really come back 100% and shake everything off. I get it, dude. The guy's a competitor. He just wants to get back in there. But I do think you need to let your body, you need to let your brain rest a little bit more. So I think this couldn't have worked out any better for Topuria. That's going to be a great fight. And I don't care. I've said it before. Volkanovski's maybe my favorite fighter, if not one of. But there's no way you take a KO like that and come back the same guy.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I mean, Topuria looks like he's a, you know, a savage, just ready to pounce and end this whole Volkanovski reign. But how can anyone with a right mind ever doubt Volkanovski when all he's done is shut everyone up for like the last, I don't know how long he's been in the UFC, 10 years, 8 years. He just literally, and he gets better. He gets better. He's very honest about his wins and his losses. So it's hard. It really, really is hard to go against him. I would say that, yeah, I would have preferred Volkanovski go last, because we'll talk about UFC 299 in just a second. But what's happening here is Volkanovski and Strickland are defending before O'Malley, who's at on the 299 card. Yet O'Malley fought earlier in 2023. So does that make sense? No. Are there injuries and stuff we probably don't know about? Sure. But it's made. The fight's made. These are grown adults, grown men and women that do know what they're doing. And, you know, in 2023, Poatan, Alex Fajeda, got knocked the fuck out by Israel Adesanya in Miami in April. Then he comes back and beats a former champion. Close, split decision in Utah against Jan Blachowicz. Took some shots from Jan Blachowicz, but he gambled on himself, and now he's in a position to win a title, a second title in a different weight class on Saturday. So, crazy sport, man. It really is a crazy sport. But I'm sure, look, to give the UFC credit, I'm sure they probably even thought of that. You know, hey, can we give this guy a little bit more rest? Who knows? But Sean O'Malley's a pretty big star from them. I'm sure they probably started with him and then started filling the spots. But let's get to that. O'Malley, UFC 299, he's got Marlon Vera. Now, look, I have no problem with 297. Duplessis, the number one contender. I have no problem with 298. Topuria, number one contender. Do I have a problem with O'Malley Vera in the sense that is the fight going to suck? No, I don't think so. Do they have history? Do they have heat? Yep, on both. So that part's kind of exciting. But Vera got thumped by, I spaced it on his name, the guy from Colorado, Corey Sandhagen, right? That's one. And two, how about Merab Dvalishvili, who's just been a destroyer for the most part? He got injured, but I heard he could make it to a December fight. I thought for sure a March fight. Where's this guy at? Like, that we really kind of had a few options before we get there. O'Malley, big name. He probably had a say in this. He wants Vera because it's his only loss. So maybe that was the defining thing. But, man, what could have just been a perfect trifecta of an announcement, one versus two, now we're kind of getting like one versus four or five or something like that.
Yeah, we need to get an answer on that, because that is the name that made the most sense. I think we all felt, though, from the get-go that it was just going to go down this way. Because if you look at it from different perspectives, you understand why they're trying to do that. I feel like Sean O'Malley maybe has a little bit more power than some other fighters. I'm not saying he has Conor McGregor power, but yeah, I think he's got enough. I think the UFC's realized that people gravitate to him. And dude, to be fair, he's kind of winning me over. He's cracking me up here with some of the things he says, some of the things he does. But I had a feeling we would all, and I think we talked about this on a spinning backlick, that we would all probably end up in this position where it is Vera. But I'd like to hear the exact reason why it wasn't Merab.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing March 9th, by the way, but I don't know a location. Now, for the past 7 or 8 years, the first week in March, the UFC is in Vegas. But I don't think so, because I did a little bit of research a few months ago, and I looked at the T-Mobile schedule, and they had Madonna, who had rescheduled the concert, and a lot of hoops, NCAA hoops, for those weekends in March. And it didn't look like the UFC could pull something off. But let's connect some dots. UFC 300, how's that not going to be in Las Vegas? And that'll probably take place in April. So I could see 299, the UFC just maybe straying away from that little run of fights that they've had, you know, in Las Vegas in early March, and just saying, we'll go to another city and then for 300 come back, rather than go back to back months. Now, what city that might be, I don't know. Same guy that told us, you know, that 298 could be in California, threw out a bunch of other cities, but now we're just throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping we can hit it. But it's kind of like your typical Abu Dhabi. That's usually in October. I think I heard of Miami in there somewhere. Maybe that would make sense. Who knows? But that's a wild card guessing game. So I just think that card won't be in Vegas, but 300 will, which is weird because O'Malley kind of really likes fighting in Vegas. It's close to home. And he's big on that whole not getting taxed, you know, in a certain state or in a certain country thing. So what do I know? Maybe they do go back to back in Las Vegas, but I'm pretty sure the T-Mobile wasn't allowing for a March 9th date, but that's what we're hearing.
Yeah. I think it was New York, right? That he had a big problem with, where he said he'd never fight there ever again.
Possibly. Yeah.
You know, exactly. One thing that we failed to mention too, in this whole thing, is where does Aljamain Sterling fall in all this, right? Like, let's just say this is all right, this is the fight, then you have to imagine Merab would be next after that. But at the same time, Aljamain Sterling was one of the guys that we were talking about maybe possibly being the GOAT of the division. Mm-hmm. And he didn't deserve a rematch. Maybe they didn't want to insult him.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, to be honest. That does leave Sanhagen, Sterling, and Merab out in the cold. What might happen with them, I have no idea, but it sounds like a fight night type, you know, type of, these are fight night type names, headliners for whatever fight nights they have. But who might go against who? Well, we know Merab won't face Sterling, and Corey's already faced Sanhagen. I don't believe, I'm looking real quick, that he's faced Merab. So Merab versus Sterling might, hold on, let me get this straight. Merab versus Sanhagen might make some sense. And then as far as Sterling goes, I mean, Peter Yan, they've already ran it twice. Mm-hmm. Cejudo, he just beat him. The winner of Davis and Figueiredo versus Rob Font, I suppose. The winner of Chris Gutierrez against Song Yadong, I suppose. Yeah, it might just be him having to take someone else, or maybe test the waters of 145. There's Omar Nurmagomedov, who's undefeated at 16-0. Maybe they put him against Sterling. Who knows? But all I know is this. Whoever does fight out of Merab, Sanhagen, just go out there and do your best to win and finish. I think that catapults you to the top. Because other than that, if you really go to a decision, you leave it in the hands of the UFC.
Right, yeah.
So there you have it, folks. A trifecta of announcements. Big ones, too. And we gave you all the information we could. March 9th for UFC 299. Don't know the location. February 17th for UFC 298. We're hearing California, possibly Anaheim. And UFC 297, we know for a fact, Toronto on January 20th. Strickland Duplessis, Mayra Bueno Silva versus Raquel Pennington.
Why do they keep picking places that are probably the most difficult for Sean Strickland to get into?
That's true, huh? Hey, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Chris Curtis fought on the same card as Amanda Nunes when she beat Irene Aldana, and it was Vancouver. Hold on. Let me look this up. And I'm pretty sure we asked him, hey, is Strickland in your corner? And he said no, and he joked around because he said he had gotten in some trouble. And remember, he had problems getting into Canada as well. Or sorry, not Canada, Australia. So maybe the UFC finally cleared all that. But you're right. That does raise that question.
I don't know. Yeah, it seems like I've seen – I don't know.
Chris Curtis fought Nasruddin Imavov. That's the one that ended in a no contest, accidental clash of heads. And yeah, Strickland couldn't accompany him because they corner each other. And he kind of joked with us and said, yeah, you know, he's kind of had a little bit of a past and he won't be able to make it. And I heard that was the problem with him in Australia, but somehow I guess they got cleared, and maybe that clears him. I mean, every country's different, but maybe that clears him for Canada too. I mean, I really doubt the UFC would make this announcement if they hadn't crossed right. that T, dotted that I, and squiggled that Q, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we get to some other stuff, Why don't we catch up with our guest? His name is Peter Murray. He's the CEO of PFL. We got a lot of questions for him, not just about obviously Ngannou, the future of PFL, but this is our first chance to chat with him, and I'm really looking forward to it. We'll be right back. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes always deliver the big names here in the sport of mixed martial arts. Today we get to chat with Peter Murray, the CEO of PFL. PFL has a huge show coming up on Black Friday, November 24th. It is their finals. 6 title fights, all right, taking place along with a lot of featured matches with some of their biggest names. It is going to be a doozy. It is a pay-per-view. You can order it on ESPN Plus. Peter, welcome to the show. How are you, sir? Did you just smash a lunch, or are you about to smash a lunch?
Yeah, no, I smashed the lunch, and excited to talk to you guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hey, let me ask you, this Ngannou thing won't go away. The buzz is still there. I still get asked about it. I'm down in South America right now, and everybody still keeps asking me, what's next? What'd you think of the fight? How'd you score the fight? Everything. How about from your end? I want to know about the entertainment people that you know, the sporting people that you know. What's been their feedback about PFL's biggest star?
Oh, no, Francis, he's not going away. You know, so Francis is on a mission. He put on an incredible performance. We all know that. And, you know, he really won that fight, but he won everybody's hearts, proved everybody wrong. And so now it's on to the next chapter and next year. You know, we launch our pay-per-view division. Francis will be a big part of that. So he'll return to the cage with the PFL. We'll be announcing those details, you know, I would say in the coming weeks in terms of opponent and timing, working through that. And, you know, Francis is going to continue to box. We'll see if there's a rematch or... I know there's a number of big time boxers who now saw that Francis is absolutely the best combat sports athlete on the planet and has all the skill in the world in boxing. So it's going to be exciting to watch.
Do you want him to box? And does it have to be Fury, or can it be anyone else?
Well, hey, that's Francis's decision, but we're supportive of Francis, you know, both in boxing as well as MMA. We're excited to get going in MMA with our Super Fights pay-per-view division. And, you know, but outside of that, you know, Francis will definitely get back into the ring. And whether it's a rematch or, you know, a major new, you know, opponent or bout, it'll be next level because Francis is that... You know, he's got that experience now under the belt, a little added confidence, and he'll continue to go to work. So all the storylines are there for him.
Is this based off of his great performance? In other words, let's say he had gone in there and just hadn't been his night and he decisively lost. Would we have turned the chapter on that book, you know, in that book and just pivoted towards MMA? Is that where we're at right now because of how great he did? Now we're more towards still writing more words in that chapter.
Yeah, I mean, Francis is not going away either way. So, I mean, you know, here he is, first professional boxing bout, and he fights the number one heavyweight in the world. That's his debut. So, you know, Francis is determined to take on the sport. So I just think it's exciting for all combat sports. And more to come. And with respect to Francis, he's also going to work with the PFL. I mean, we will be making announcements regarding the launch of PFL Africa, which will launch in 2025. You know, Francis at the helm as chairman. We have a number of partnerships in place that will, you know, the foundation of that league is pretty much, you know, it's being built and almost set. And that'll be, you know, a big part of his legacy. In terms of paving the way for the next great athletes and fighters coming from the continent of Africa. So Francis is very passionate about that. And there is, you know, an incredible amount of talent in Africa that have really been looking, you know, for this opportunity to put more resources, help build the ecosystem in sports in Africa, not just drop in events and leave. You know, that's also part of the story in terms of Francis as an MMA fighter, as a boxer, And now as a leader of, TFL Africa, which will be the number one leading MMA organization on the continent.
When will we hear the announcements? Perhaps at the finals?
You know, we'll see. You know, we're talking about that right now and, finalizing a few things. And if it's not at the championship, we have a number of other things to announce, Thanksgiving and Fight Week, certainly by the end of the year.
What do you say to those, and I'll include myself, I don't want to be a hypocrite and hide behind that, that say this growth, it's amazing, we applaud you, but is it too much for the MMA fan, for MMA media to appropriately cover everything that's happening? Because as you know, UFC, Bellator, we don't know what the future is, one championship, there's just so much that happens, it really, sometimes it's hard to keep track of everything, and I'm sure you would always want spotlights on your huge events. But when there's multiple events, sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah, hey, listen, I think we do a good job. We're on ESPN, so with our global season product, we don't compete or conflict with the UFC. The UFC fan's a PFL fan. We serve up an innovative premium product, great fights, great fighters, but that's differentiated, with the season format on a different night of the week for the same fan. So, we don't see any issues there, and we'll be smart the way we schedule, our select mega events within our Super Fights division. And, what I would say to you, to wrap this is the demand among consumers around the world for more quality MMA is so high. There's so much more growth ahead. I mean, you talk about covering a sport. How about covering, the world's number one sport in soccer or football, where you have, nine major leagues that have the best talent in the world. And I couldn't tell you how many matches are in a given week, let alone a month or a year. So there's really limited product, at the highest level in terms of quality, what the PFL is delivering right alongside, the UFC. So the demand is there among fans. The demand is there, for media companies distributing our product. And we have a great roster of some of the best sports, companies, media companies and platforms in the world. We distribute to 160 countries. And, the fighter, athletes around the world, fighters around the world are looking for an alternate, are looking for proper pathways and to support them professionally at the regional level and an opportunity to get to the global stage. So we know what we're solving for, for fighters, for media companies and fans.
Peter, you mentioned the pay-per-view division that's about to start. Can you maybe share with us, is it difficult balancing who's going to be doing seasons, who's going to be doing pay-per-views? I'm sure a lot of fighters are showing interest, maybe even in both. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that? And one thing that we really get excited for are those free agent signings. Are we going to see more of those soon?
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer that first. Absolutely. I mean, we're definitely propelling fighters to go into free agency. It's their right. They should, seek alternatives, weigh their options. And so you'll see more and more, top fighters in the sport from around the world, fighters who are ranked in the top 10, certainly the top 20. Now that the PFL, we have the momentum that we have the global platform, we have great talent, and we get behind the fighters. They have the opportunity to make more money and control their destiny in a different way. Competition is good. We'll help grow the sport and build a league around the world. So yeah, more to come on free agent signings. And and your first question, with respect to, what do you want me to comment on there?
As far as pay-per-view and the season, what fighters are
who goes
are,
where?
Yeah.
Listen, it's there's art and science to it, in that, we want to make sure that all of our fights, around the season, we have, the very best athletes at that stage of their career. We have 6 weight classes today in the global season, 5 men's, 1 women, only 10 spots, highly coveted spots from some of the best athletes around the world. I think, we have over 35 nations represented on that roster. So we curate it based on, the best athletes from all over the world and different countries. So there's a whole force ranking system. Ray Sefo and the team, You know, they have criteria year over year to elevate not only the global season fighter roster, but weight class by weight class. And, you know, we retain the top performers, you know, those champions, as well as, you know, other exciting fighters who make it to the postseason or showing us something. And then each year you got a fresh product. You know, we have new talent coming in to take on those top performers, to take on those champions. And that's why it's fun for the fan. I mean, there's a beginning, middle, and end each year. And then each year, it's a fresh product. And so how we, you know, deploy the talent is really based on the skill of a fighter, what we think makes a good weight class. And with respect to pay-per-view, you know, listen, the top of the card, you know, in terms of main event or co-main event, those will likely be, you know, many of those fighters will be new fighters coming into the league, you know, some of the best in the world, again, in terms of top five, top 10 ranking. But other fighters within, you know, our organization have the opportunity to get to that level, not only in Super Fights division, but on those main events. And, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, with Kayla Harrison and others who, you know, can draw and compete on that type of stage. But the good news is we have options for fighters, and we have great options and opportunities for fans to engage in all of our franchises, you know, from the global league season to pay-per-view to the international leagues year round. I mean, next year we'll have over 30 events.
Peter, let me tell you a little story about something that really scared me. George and I, we're from Vegas here, and I know you're in New York. In our lives, when a big fight is announced, we usually look at the guys at New York and they look at us and they go, who's getting this one? It's either there or the fight capital of the world.
Yep.
What happened in Saudi Arabia absolutely blew my mind. Is this something we have to worry about? Is this going to be the future of not just combat sports, but sports in general seem to be going that way? What can you tell us about what you saw, and maybe even if you learned something like that the PFL would want to try that they like seeing that weekend?
Yeah, no, what I would say about, you know, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, clearly there's a strategy to be a leader in global sports from a business perspective and investment perspective. And, you know, within KSA regionally, you know, the opportunity to, you know, develop, you know, sports within combat sports overall and other sports at the grassroots level, the Olympic level, the pro level. You know, the desire and the commitment is there, you know, because of all the benefits of sports, you know, for fans as well as, you know, giving, you know, athletes an opportunity. So we're really excited and proud to play a role in that. And with respect to ensuring that Saudi Arabia is really at the epicenter of MMA, the growth sport, you know, of this decade globally and regionally. We are focused on, you know, working with our partners in Saudi Arabia to ensure that, you know, they're building out the right ecosystem, you know, including, you know, mega events. We're launching a regional, you know, league in PFL MENA as well next year. And, you know, we'll be making announcements related to our investment to, you know, develop, you know, elite athletes from around the world and throughout the Middle East at the highest level. So I think it's an exciting time. And we're excited to be a part of it. And what I would say to you regarding Vegas and New York, you know, where I am, look at the event that they put on. It was a spectacle. You know, when you think about, you know, the entertainment value, the celebrity to it and the build to that event, I mean, you know, talk about the atmosphere that I was fortunate enough to be there at supporting Francis. But, you know, you see it, you know, the production value, the conversation, you know, in the media about it. It was world class. It was Super Bowl like. And there's more to come. And, you know, what I would say is, I don't think Vegas needs to be worried because it's always going to play a role with the legacy. Certainly, you know, here in New York with the Garden and elsewhere. But there's more room for more than, you know, a couple of leaders as, you know, as powerhouse fight capitals. And it's on in Saudi Arabia for sure.
Peter, I think one thing that we've all been able to appreciate about the PFL is you guys think outside the box. You're not afraid to try new things. When I heard Deontay Wilder and Francis Ngannou and possibly hybrid rules, I thought that's interesting. But that could mean a lot of different things. What do you think would be kind of like a fair hybrid world match between those two?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, it's a conversation. So, I mean, you can eliminate a number of things from elbows to, submissions and, you know, keep kicks in and takedowns. I think it would be interesting, but, you know, there's a range of things you can do. You know, here's the minimum, here's the maximum, depending upon the opponent's right skills. So, but we're going to have fun with that. You know, whether it's this fight with Francis and Deontay or other upcoming bouts that, you know, will blend different styles, but not necessarily deploy, you know, all the disciplines of MMA, which I think is cool.
Do you think that's what Don Davis meant when he said there's just not anything interesting in pure MMA? It almost seemed like, and I'm not trying to start stuff here, Peter, a little disparaging towards the current heavyweight class that you guys have. And I'm thinking, you guys have two great fighters fighting in the final. Goltsov and Fajeda. I'd love to see the winner fight him. But at the same time, I thought maybe he's got a little bit of a promoter hat, and he is leaning us towards Wilder, and that's why he specified pure MMA. What did you gather from his comments?
No, listen, I mean, Don's, you know, super straightforward. He's so passionate and honest. I mean, listen, we have options. I mean, we have fighters that can come up through our system, including those heavyweights, and make it up to pay-per-view. But for this first fight with Francis, you know, we're excited about the conversation with Deontay, and that would require, you know, some modified rules.
And so are we. I mean, I've seen Deontay many times in Vegas. I think he's an outstanding boxer, represented the United States. So, I mean, I'd be happy to see that as well. But I would love to see Francis back in MMA or MMA guy. So I guess maybe we're partial to that. All right, just a couple more things here, and then we'll let you smash dessert or drink waiting for you.
Okay. No, I'm good. Middle of the day.
Tell us something. We're not media at this moment for this question. We're not media. We're fans asking you. Give us something on what's going on with these Bellator rumors. We're excited, man. This could be huge for you guys, or maybe there isn't anything. But can you tell us anything?
Yeah, no. Listen, it's been out there, and you know we're certainly we're in it, and it's not done until it's done. And you know when that happens, and we'll be sharing those details. So you know we wouldn't have spent this amount of time if we didn't think there was value in the PFL brand. They're incredible fighters, but you know there is an opportunity to candidly contemporize, you know, that brand, and I think give more purpose, you know, to the product and the events. So you know we do have a point of view, we do have a plan, you know, should that deal get done, and we'll be potentially making some announcements very soon. We'll see.
Is there anything you could tell us about that plan? Again, we're fans. Do these guys join these regular season format, or does this spruce up the arena series, the pay-per-view series?
Yeah, no, we'll be sharing those. It's a great question, and, you know, we'll be sharing those details, you know, should the deal happen.
Fair enough. That was something. Because, yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for a while now. We love covering. They got some fabulous athletes, and so do you guys. You can imagine the matchmaking potential there, you know what I mean? It would really be pretty outstanding, which will allow me to pivot to PFLW. You guys seem to be very invested in this. I think you guys have done a great job of acquiring some great talent. Aspen Ladd, for example, Julia Budd. You've homegrown some talent. There's a rivalry between Pacheco and Harrison. Great stuff. We really, really dig it. But what can you tell us about what else comes in the future of PFLW as far as other weight classes?
Yeah, no, great question. We're excited about women, you know, in sport and women in MMA or in combat sports. And we have some of the best women in all of combat sports. You're looking at champion boxers. You know, Amanda Serrano's came over. You know, obviously Savannah Marsh has come over. She really wants that rematch with Caressa and do that in the cage. And we're going to set that fight up, which will be epic. I mean, you know, their fight in London was the most viewed women's professional boxing event in UK history. So to have that rematch or a follow-on fight in MMA in the cage between the two, we think, you know, major global event a fight that fans would want to see. And to see these women, you know, adapt from boxing, and you know, they're competing at the highest level, championship caliber, you know, athletes in boxing, and humbly coming over to, you know, one of the hardest sports there is in MMA, and to dig in and find their superpowers in all these different disciplines, and to do it humbly and exposing it to the world. You know, we think it's pretty bold. So we're excited about women in the sport. And PFLW, what it really represents is three pillars, you know, the PFL's focused on. Number one, empowering women inside and outside of the cage. You know, two, providing equal opportunity for women, including equal compensation. And three, a dedicated platform, you know, for these great women to compete, you know, on a global stage and share their voices, their stories. They're moms, and they have incredible, you know, they have other interests and focus in their life beyond being professional athletes. And, you know, we're really excited to, you know, to give these women an opportunity not only to compete as major athletes, but to share their voices. And so we'll integrate women, you know, we integrate women, you know, bouts within our events globally and regionally within PFL Europe. And on your question regarding developing different weight classes, we're really excited about women's 125. We're developing that weight class in PFL Europe. You'll see more 125ers, you know, come over to the PFL, and you know, over time we could see women's 125 making up to the global stage in the global league season.
Great stuff. All right, two more quick ones, and then we'll close strong. USADA, you guys coming to an agreement with USADA, how much better are you going to be able to sleep at night? What does that mean for your company?
Yeah, you know, I think it was just a natural evolution. We've been talking about it for, you know, a number of years. And again, the program that our team, our company has in place is definitely top notch. But, you know, USADA is the leader, and they bring more resources, more testing, and you know, there's different criteria, and we think it's good for the sport, and it's good for the PFL at this time. So it just gives us added resources and, you know, a way to manage it all. So we're rolling that out. That was rolled out, you know, earlier this year, and we'll continue with that program.
You were really excited when you talked about free agency. I'm of the opinion that when I've seen it in other sports, because I've grown up watching sports all my life, it benefits the athletes. Example, in pro football or basketball, we know what the clubs are offering the athletes. Most of the time they go towards a little bit more money, but a lot of times it's team loyalty, whatever. But it's out in the open. And I've also felt like that's what's helped their salaries grow. As you know, in the UFC, that's kept quiet. PFL does throw some numbers out there. France is being able to get $2 million for his future opponent, for example. I thought that was outstanding. I thought that was, you know, groundbreaking. You know, when Pettis's salary was released in 2022 when they fought in Georgia, again, a real big eye opener. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like it should be kept under wraps, or do you like it being out there in the open as it's helped other athletes in other sports?
Yeah, well, I would agree. Free agency is great for the fighters. And so, you know, more to come there and how it grows the sport. Two, you know, with respect to, you know, transparency, we're a transparent company. And, you know, as we look at it, the opportunity to bring great talent to the PFL and develop talent within, you know, no matter the athlete or the sport, you know, what athletes want, any sport, you know, if you're at the top of the game, you know, the opportunity to compete, right, against you know, top talent or against the best, you know, largest possible stage, right, as well as, you know, the opportunity to become champion and all that comes with it, including, you know, getting paid. And we provide added incentives for fighters to increase their compensation, as well as, you know, with our league season product, you know, a year-ending, you know, $1 million paycheck on top of that. It's life-changing money. So we're transparent about it. And but, you know, not all contract details can be aired out, you know, in the media and with fans. And, you know, we manage things accordingly.
Like I said, we're going to close strong here. Clay Collard versus OAM. OAM has a chance to make some history, joining the few fighters that have won two titles at PFL. And at the same time, we were telling him the other day, I think he's Mount Rushmore of Canadian MMA. And I think he seemed to agree, but he knows that, you know, he could really, really finish things off here nicely against Clay Collard. Clay Collard has to be one of the most exciting fighters on your roster. His fights, you just can't miss them. Talk about that fight between OAM and Clay Collard.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on OAM. He's gotten better and better year over year. He's obviously won the championship last year. He's looking to really create a mark as a two-time champion. And not only is he, a proud Canadian, he's definitely a proud PFL, champion and ambassador. He really is. I mean, he's incredibly skilled. Obviously, he's got GSP, support. Great program, of TriStar. And with respect to Clay, you cannot discount what he can bring. He's had a lot of adversity, over the last, couple of years, but, he's staying focused on his career and on competing and, you don't like his style is, you don't know what he's going to bring. So, we put it at the top card for a reason. And it should be fun. And then, we have five other, championship fights, six title fights in one night, each earning a belt and a big check, as well as, the return of Kayla Harrison. And we have Ray Cooper, on the card as well. So it's stacked. You have Biagio Ali Walsh on the card. And it's great to see him as an amateur, take this sport on the way he has on with a spotlight, another fighter that's explosive and is getting better and better. And, we'll see next year when he goes pro. We're looking forward to that moment.
Phenomenal athlete. I saw him play high school football for Bishop Gorman. The way his transition has been amazing. I do want to say Goldsoff and Fajeda, that's just can't miss. All five of their wins between the two of them have ended with a finish, and all in the first round, 6-5 versus 6-8. I mean, someone's getting thumped in this fight. These guys, they don't play around.
No. I mean, both of them. I mean, you nailed it. And, the heavyweights, and we'll see. I think Francis may join us for a little commentary, during that fight. So it'll be fun.
I'd love to see a year that has a Wilder Francis Ngannou fight, a Fury versus Ngannou fight part two, maybe later in the year. But the winner of this fight, I think, hopefully can earn himself a shot at the Cameroonian, the beast, the best athlete, the baddest man on the planet, Francis Ngannou. Folks, like Peter Murray said, there's six title fights. All right, you got Derek Brunson coming over. He's going to be facing off against Ray Cooper. You got Julia Budd, former Bellator champion, against Kayla Harrison. I mean, that's been a fight that's been in the works for a long time. The six title fights, like we mentioned, $1 million to each winner, all on the 24th. It's a Friday out at the Anthem in Washington, D.C. You got to tune in, and if you can't get there in person, you can watch it on ESPN Plus, $49.99. That's a perfect price for anybody that's got any types of complaints. You're getting, trust me, they're going to over-deliver. You're probably going to want to tip these fighters if you can. Peter, thank you so much for this time. I'm sorry we went a little long. You're harder to book than Lionel Messi from Inter Milan.
Come on now.
We finally got you.
Come on now.
We appreciate the time. you're a busy guy, but it's been fun talking to you. We've been wanting to talk to you. So
Of course. I enjoy you guys. I appreciate you guys. And what I would say about, our world championship, just give the gift of fighting this holiday on Black Friday with the PFL World Championship.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah. Magomed Karamov, Kasanganai, Josh Silvera, the card is stacked. Thanks, Peter, for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Peace. Take care. Later.
See you.
Take it easy, Peter Murray. I was just joking about the Inter Milan and Leo Messi joke.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. That was done a few hours earlier in the day, and that's why you heard us talk about lunch. But thank you to PFL and Peter Murray. He was really gracious with his time. I thought he gave great answers, honest answers, transparent answers. And guess what, goes? I mean, I felt like he almost did everything but say, we are the favorites to land the Bellator roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I think It's looking that way. And from what I'm hearing is, it seems like Bellator might just kind of run as its own thing for a little bit while they figure all that out. But they'll definitely need it. They'll need a roster like that if they're going to want to do pay-per-view.
Which is what Strikeforce did when the UFC acquired them. I remember Daly and Diaz was in San Diego. Dana White showed up. He wore a Strikeforce hat. I believe Bristol Morandi and Jacare fought in Brazil. Same thing. But I think that was because they had to either finish out their commitment to Showtime or whatever. In this case, Showtime's kind of saying, hey, we're done after 2023. I don't know if there's contracts, or I don't know if that's just the easiest way to get started. I'm sure PFL's already started to map out 2024. And like Peter Murray just told us, there's only 10 per division, and Bellator's way more than, you know, just a few cats. I mean, they have talent to bring to every division. So that's cool. But give us something. Let's just get started, you know, and I anticipate some great matchups. In fact, here's another one I wanted to talk about. Julia Budd is not facing Kayla Harrison. Julia Budd's a former Bellator featherweight champion. She actually had 3 title defenses before Chris Cyborg smashed her. And so she was supposed to fight Kayla Harrison. I'm sure Kayla was looking forward to that because, again, anytime you can say, hey, look, I fought a former champion of another major organization and won, if that's, in fact, what happens, then that adds to your street cred. She's got Aspen Ladd, who's a respected former bantamweight and featherweight in the UFC, mostly a bantamweight, and that's not a bad plan B.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that you could say Julia Budd's a former champion. I think that does help. Aspen Ladd, you know, it's a roller coaster with her. There's times where she does not look very good at all, and then there's times where she looks pretty good. So either way, I think it's still a challenging fight for Kayla Harrison. It's a good measuring stick to see just where she's at in her progression, because with Kayla Harrison, every fight matters, you know, because her name is attached to such big names in our sport. So it's still going to be interesting. Hell, I might even say on paper, I think it could have done more for Kayla Harrison. But as far as like what the fans want to see, I think it might actually have worked out even better this way.
Could be. I mean, Ladd did beat Budd. So if anything, maybe it's a slightly higher profile current fighter. Ladd can't match the Budd resume, but like I say, recency bias, I guess maybe I would give it to Ladd because of that win over Budd earlier this year. 2 quick announcements came in. Jake Paul is going to box Andre August December 15th on DAZN, and Chris Cyborg is going to box Kelly Wickstrom on January 19th. What's your reaction, Goes?
Well, the names attached to Jake Paul are always what makes it so interesting. Now, the fact that this is an actual boxer, it's interesting, but it doesn't make me want to pay any money or separate time the way like a Nate Diaz would, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there I'm eh. And then as far as Chris Cyborg goes, if this is something that takes us like a little closer to maybe seeing the Clarissa Shields or someone like that, okay. But Chris Cyborg has kind of like, she's kind of just earned the chance to just do whatever the hell she wants at this point. You know, like, she doesn't run from anyone. Like, I don't care what people say. I'm okay with it, but I probably won't tune in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Once I hear December and January, my mind is on NFL. Mm-hmm. We're getting near the playoffs. And so, yeah, you better come with a strong undercard in addition to Jake Paul versus fill in the blank if you want me to tune in and spend some money. You know, it's 2 different things. I mean, I could be a millionaire, but if the card sucks, I'm not going to tune in, right? And the card could be great, but if I'm poor, then I'm not going to buy it. So give us something to get excited about. And we shall see, is all I can say. In fact, now that I think about it, I wish I would have told Peter Murray I'd love to see Clay Collard on a future boxing card especially if it's a Francis Ngannou boxing card. I think he's earned getting a boxing payday, you know, fighting someone else. I mean, he's an exciting fighter, but he really does have legitimate boxing experience under his belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the way he works the body. He's just fun all around. Like, he's definitely a guy that hopefully when they do their pay-per-view series, that's a name you want to see on there. That's what makes you want to tune in and buy something.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Joe Rogan hasn't announced a fight in 3 months? He's back on the UFC 295 commentary team in New York. That's great. You know, 30-year anniversary, big show. Like you said, in speaking to Mark Madsen, looks like they got a few bells and whistles planned for this historic evening. I started thinking about it. Okay, he didn't go to Abu Dhabi. All right. He didn't go to Australia. All right. And then what was the one before Australia? I thought it was when they were in Utah. Why didn't he go to that one? But yeah, I guess I oh no, it says in 3 months. Sorry, not three shows. Yeah, 3 months. That's usually good news for a lot of people. A lot of people enjoy Rogan's input.
Yeah, I mean, he's a staple of the UFC, so it's nothing against any of the other guys that fill in. They do a great job, too, but it just kind of ups the level of what you're doing. He would have been missed, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, big show, for sure. And again, Goz and I will be hosting a watch-along on Saturday, November 11th. That's basically in 3 days. It'll start at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for prelim fights, and then the pay-per-view. Here's how it works. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you already got the pay-per-view, hey, turn it up. Listen to DC, John Anik, Joe Rogan. They do a great job from time to time. If they're just not your cup of tea, Goz and I will be calling the fights too. We actually do more play-by-play for the main card, because what happens is a lot of people don't order the pay-per-view. A lot of people just choose not to, and that's fine too. But guess what? Instead of hitting refresh for Twitter, or even going to a website that might be doing play-by-play, you can hear us do it in real time. We'll tell you exactly what's happening. So that's the advantage for those that choose not to get it. You just go to the website on Saturday night and check it out. Our colleague, Farah Hanoun, she'll be doing a preview show at 5 Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Also, while I'm giving you these reminders, the Spinning Back Click show, which is every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We will have a second show. It's on Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. On this specific show, Simon Simano, our managing editor, he'll host it. We're going to talk about the 30 greatest fighters in UFC history, the collaboration that we did as a website, breaking down the top 30 fighters in history. Today, Khabib Nurmagomedov was released as the fifth greatest ever. He followed in the footsteps of number 6, Jose Aldo, number 7, Daniel Cormier, number 8, Amanda Nunes, number 9, Alexander Volkanovski, and number 10, Stipe Miocic. So there's only 4 left. There's 30 in total. Each time you hear one of those, or when you see one of those stories, if you just click, you'll hear a little bit of an audio done by somebody from the staff. Those are pretty cool. And then you'll also see, if you scroll down to the bottom, the list of 11 through 30, so you kind of have an idea of what you might have missed, or just kind of have an idea of what we collaborated on. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. We're going to bounce on at it here. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you enjoyed the Peter Murray interview. Again, the CEO of PFL. Sounds like kind of like the right type of guy to run it. You can tell he's excited about mixed martial arts. He wants it to grow. He wants the best. He's willing to have some transparency, and that's all we can ask. I guess I didn't never really give my opinion, Goz, but I thought he sounded like a pretty solid cat, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anybody that's doing this type of job, you want to make sure they're passionate about it. And he seems like he is.
Yep. All right. So we'll see you all on Saturday for the watch along, and then Monday for Spinning Back Click, and of course the regular Junkie Radio show. And don't forget, we have great coverage of UFC 295 in New York. Shout out to Ken Hathaway, Mike Bond, Nolan King. They're there already. They've been hustling, and they're going to put out a lot of content. So check it out. In fact, not just the website, at the YouTube channel. I know a lot of people just live on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel. We have 325,000 subscribers. Man, we'd love to get to 500,000 at some point. And it all helps and it all starts with you guys. Hit that like and subscribe to the channel. But I'm telling you, a lot of quality content for any hardcore MMA fan. And if you can, share that with others. Anyway, enjoy the weekend. Talk to you Saturday. Go out and be a champion.